Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text is the second lesson for today, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. In the name of Jesus, our only Savior from sin, dear Christian friends. All Saints' Day, what a joyous day to come together and hear God's word and celebrate our citizenship in the kingdom of God, knowing that all the people we love who have died already are with Jesus. No more in pain or suffering. No more waiting for the expectation of God's fulfillment. Living in existence without sin or struggle against Satan or the problems of a broken, fallen world and broken, fallen flesh. They're in the perfect joy seeing Jesus face to face. Wow, what a thing to celebrate today. Joyous celebration, knowing that they are celebrating with us. You know, when you take Holy Communion, we believe in the communion of all the saints. Those loved ones of yours, you never come closer to a physical experience with them after they've died than taking Holy Communion, as they are one with Christ and we are one with Christ. And as Jesus embraces us in his very blood and body, they're embracing us too. What joy to be that close, to shed a tear of joy, knowing we're that close to those we love that have gone before us. They're praising God forever, because only because Jesus lived a perfect life without sin for you, for them, and died for all the sins of all the world, and then conquered death, rose from the dead. So that Jesus says to us, if you believe in me, you will never die. Of course, we know we do die physically. We know Lazarus died. He rose him, brought him forth from the grave. But Jesus says, no. Paul talks about falling asleep in Jesus. We go from life to life. From this life of joy in Jesus to the fullness of joy with Jesus in the kingdom of glory. Robed in the white robes of his righteousness. Is there a white robe for you, do you think? Is there a white robe for me? What does that white robe represent? When a pastor wears an alb, a white robe, it's to represent the holiness of Jesus, being around the throne, glorifying God. The white robe of Jesus' righteousness. Is there a robe for you, a robe for me? You know, I have a robe that I wear every day. It's not very comforting. It's called sin. It condemns me when I look at it. It's a sin of thought, word, and deed that permeates all my being. A robe of condemnation. And Satan likes to use that for us to look at it and say, is there a robe for me? Am I included in the saints? A saint means someone without sin. Yeah, it does. And even as we live in sin and weakness right here, we are without sin before our Heavenly Father. When we were baptized, the Holy Spirit put the robe of Jesus' righteousness on us already. Robes washed in the blood of Jesus. Wow. Well, how can blood make something white? How can blood cleanse us? How can blood give life? Blood does that. Love. Our blood is a cleansing process for our health and for our body in a physical, a worldly sense. Blood. When we lose blood, once I lost blood after an operation when I was home, I had to go to the emergency room, and I felt myself just passing away. But as soon as blood started coming in my body, I was brought back to life again. The blood of Jesus gives life, spiritual life, and physical life from the resurrection of the dead. But we have to experience the struggle against sin. We let the Holy Spirit show us through God's law what our sin is. You like the Beatitudes? I never did like the Beatitudes very much. I thought, I'm never going to see God. If the pure in heart will see God. I don't have a pure heart. And all those other things. The meek shall... Oh, I'm not meek. No. They used to depress me to wear that, read those. But you know, the Beatitudes are just like the Ten Commandments. Are the Ten Commandments good? Yes, they're good. Jesus says, but you've all broken. You've broken one, you broke them all. The Ten Commandments are something we should look at and try to live by. We should try to strive for the things in the Beatitudes. But you know what? You can't do it. The Ten Commandments, Beatitudes, many other portions of Scripture, they're law. They're a picture of Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law for you and me. And our Father sees us as doing all these things because Jesus did it in our place. He saves us for his eternal blessing. Yeah, through his life, death, and resurrection. We recognize our sin. You know, when the tax collector was in the temple, he saw his sin. And the Father drew him to the foot of the cross. And even though it hadn't been completed yet, he had his eyes on the Savior through the Word of God. He said, he looked to the ground. He wouldn't even look up to heaven because he knew he was unworthy. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what the Father does. He draws us to him so that every day and every Sunday, this Sunday, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he does. Jesus says, that man went away justified. The Pharisee who was praying, oh, look at me, I'm so good, I'm not like that tax collector. He went away not justified. He didn't have his eyes on Jesus. We put our eyes on Jesus alone to receive his mercy. We have already put on the robe of righteousness, and we're perfect now and forever. Do you have doubts about that? Someone says to you, wow, you did a really good job. You know, you feel kind of good. Nothing wrong with that. Or someone says, man, you really messed up. What do you think you're doing? You didn't even finish the job. You didn't do it right, and we feel kind of bad. Well, you know what? It's okay to have those feelings somewhat, but never, never, ever look at those things as how you stand before our Heavenly Father. We always stand in his grace. Whether we glorify him with a good job here or have to ask forgiveness for sin we've done and messing things up, he still loves us because we're in his family. The robes are put on at baptism. We've been adopted into the family of God. It's on with kids. In a family, does the father say, oh, you're no longer in the family? No. He disciplines. He disciplines us. But not to pay for our sins, to keep us with our eyes on Jesus, to get us away from the sin that so easily besets us. We come together today to celebrate the life that we have for all eternity along with those who have gone before us. Who are those people? In Revelation it said, who are these people? The angel asked John. You know. He says, they are the ones who have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Washed their robes in the blood. Great tribulation. Of course, we know that Jesus is talking to us in our hearts about those who have suffered for Christ, who have been persecuted. He says, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. We got to be ready for that. We have to live under the cross. But I believe the great tribulation just isn't when we suffer for Jesus. I believe that it comes to us as Christians in every normal tribulation we have as people in a fallen world. The same hurt and tribulation everybody in the world has, and losing loved ones in death, of having failure in business, of having terminal sickness, of all kinds of things. I think we go through that great tribulation. Paul says it's through great tribulations, pain and suffering, we enter the kingdom of God. And we have to look at that in the power of Christ's victory over the grave and know that he is with us in that through pain and suffering. Martin Luther had a little girl named Magdalena. When she was 12 years old, she was out playing, having a good time under a pear tree, and all of a sudden she fell down with great pain. They took her in the house and put her into bed, and for days she suffered. The pain got worse and worse, and Luther was on his knees praying for healing, praying for healing, praying for healing. It didn't come. Then he finally bowed down and whispered in his little Magdalena's ear, "Ah, my darling sweetheart, are you ready to go to your Father in heaven?" He says, yes, Father. I'm ready to go be with my Father in heaven and say goodbye to you until I see you again. And he prayed for her suffering to stop. And it did. She died. Luther took her and buried her under that pear tree. And there all the mourners are there. They're crying. And Luther is sobbing and crying and full of pain. And he turns to the mourners and he says, you know, what you see here is the pain of the flesh, the tribulation that comes to me because of the love I had for my daughter I won't see until I see her in the kingdom of glory. But what you see, the suffering and the tears, does not represent the joy and the victory and the peace that I have in my heart that goes beyond the physical expression of tribulation and pain. The joy in the midst of suffering, knowing I'll see Jesus and I'll see Magdalena and I'll see all the saints who have gone before me. And I'm looking forward to that. And I can't wait. Those who have gone before us. Jesus says he'll wipe away all our tears. No more suffering. No more death. No more struggle with sin. Yes. What joy that is to know that we are children of the Heavenly Father. We're in the family. In the family. You ever hear, particularly in politics sometimes, I got in an argument with an old high school buddy of mine the other day. He was, he believes in globalism. He's glad the borders are open. And I said, Marty, what? We got drug dealers down there. We got human trafficking. And he says, Frank, we're all children of God. I didn't want to argue with him. But we are not all children of God. We all here, baptized into Christ, are children of God. But no, God creates all people. God loves all people. But you have to be born again to be children of the Heavenly Father. In John chapter 8, Jesus argues with the Pharisees who believe they're children of the Heavenly Father. He says, you're not children of the Heavenly Father. You're children of the devil, your father. Because you rejected the Messiah. We're not rejecting. We go through trial and tribulation. We took a promise at our confirmation. I renewed our baptism covenant and had our confirmation. Said, we're willing to die rather than deny him. Well, we deny him every day. But that proclamation is fulfilled in Jesus, just like the Beatitudes, just like the Ten Commandments. It's all done for us in Jesus' perfection. It's all done when he took all that failure to the cross and paid for it there. It's all done in his victory over the grave when he comes to us and blesses us with that kind of joy that goes beyond human understanding. We come here to worship the risen Christ. He's here in his word. He's here in this sacrament. He's here as he lives in our baptismal covenant with us. Yes, we believe we are children of the Father because the Holy Spirit gives us that belief as a gift, not because we conjure it up or make it ourselves. He purifies us in Jesus' blood. Clothes us in the robe of righteousness. Lets us see our sin for a minute to give us to a repentance that will take us to the cross where we are filled with joy even on this side of the grave, knowing that our Heavenly Father sees us holy with all the saints because of Jesus. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us please rise.